Welcome to the Social Media Church podcast. I'm Neil Smith. I'm the Chief Strategist of Social Media and Innovation at Dunham & Company, and I'm joined by a repeat guest and one of my good friends, Jason Kasten. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
I'm glad to be here again, man. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, so before we hit the record button, you and I started to catch up, and I was like, whoa, we got to stop. Let's save this for the podcast. You're doing so many crazy, fun, exciting things. Catch our listeners up a little bit about some of the new initiatives that you're a part of right now.
Okay, cool. So last time I was on, I think we might have been in Colorado or LA. I'm not even sure. But
yeah.
So right now I'm working on building out a platform. A lot of your listeners are familiar with me and the iChurch method and the books I've written. So I got a new book coming out, and volume 4. And so we're going to really jump more into some of the tech topics that we're going to talk about in the book. Me and you're going to talk about that on this call, so I'm not going to go into all that. But the whole point I want to talk about as far as what I'm working on is I've been looking to build a platform, the actual digital platform that talks about and implements a lot of the church tech solutions that we talk about. So that's kind of what I've been working on and building out. And right now we're wireframing it and prototyping it. So we're actually coming out with a platform that will actually do some of the things that I talk about in the books, as opposed to just, you know, me and you go, we go to conferences, we talk to people, and now I want to give them a platform to sign up for to actually implement some of the things that we've talked about. Additionally, I'm working on an author platform with me and you both being authors, and some of the, you know, kind of the things we've connected on early on when we first started talking and became super friends and all that good stuff. But, you know, I'm working on a platform for authors that where you can write your book collaboratively, publish it, Amazon, Google Play, Apple iBooks, and market it all from one platform. So we've been putting that together because, you know, me and you've been through the authoring process and it's disjointed. If you don't sign with somebody, even if you sign with somebody, they won't market it for you, or you got to give them a cut of everything you make. And so now for self-publishing, it's easier. And of course, we live in an age of disruption. So why not I create a platform that helps put that all together in one particular place? So those are pretty much the things I'm working on, as well as the normal stuff as always, clients, different churches. We'll talk about stuff that as well. And then my friends at AT&T are still supporting me.
Yeah. So I love it, man. And I'm actually in the process of I would say rewriting my book, maybe writing a whole new book at the end of the day. Yeah. But it is a different world, man, than when you released your first book, I released my first book. But there still isn't a platform like what you talk about for authors. And I'm this go around, and I appreciate Group Publishing. They've been great partners. You and I have gotten to do a lot of stuff together with Group Publishing. But I'm going the self-publishing route this time, you know, and a lot of what I've learned, but it's complicated, man, and it's confusing, and there's a lot to navigate. So I'm excited to see how Composio develops and what that looks like, and I'll definitely be a client of yours on that platform. So iChurch Method, though, let's talk about this. So I released my first book almost 4.5 years ago. I was looking at the Amazon reviews yesterday, and I think it was released 2014, 2013. And dude, I now tell, and I still, like, I have people come and say, hey, I just read your book. I'm like, oh, why did you read that book? Like, it's so outdated. You know, I think I even talk about MySpace in the book. And some things that are just totally dead. You have kept up. You've released new versions on a consistent basis, almost annual basis. Let's talk about some of the new things with version 4, because that's the reality to this space that you and I live in is – like this conversation will be irrelevant a year from now. It's changing. There's some principles obviously that carry over, you know, over and over and over again, but the technologies are so rapidly changing. Are there some key things that changed in version 4 or features that stood out that you really needed to focus in on and expand on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so going from version 3 to version 4, version 3 was a heavy focus at that time was internet church, internet, and the whole concept of internet church. And me and you were really deep into that. So I wanted to help ministries and churches and faith-based organizations understand how they create these online interactive digital ministry platforms. Yep. So now when we're getting to volume 4, the thing that I realize is, one, I always get a new audience that have never read a book before from me. So I have to keep with the basics that we stick with, which is web, multimedia, e-commerce, social media, mobile. And then now I'm adding a sixth chapter of talking about just innovation. So in this particular book, you know, just like this conversation that we're about to go into, I have to talk about how important AR is, augmented reality. I have to talk about how important it is to look at your website as much more of a smarter platform. You know, you put a lot of content up there, but now we're talking about AI and how can you implement AI into making your website a smarter platform to understand what your users want and think for them. You know, we remember, if we think back, let's look at a good example. We think back about Google. Google could just be a search box where you put in whatever you're looking for and they give you great results. We would be content with that. But they made it smarter with AI to the fact where it starts to finish your sentences. So, and that, when you start thinking about stuff like that, how can we create platforms to actually think for our users and start and give them what they want before they even know that they want it? I mean, I had to talk about that with social media, and you're going to talk about, I'm sure, you know, in your next book when you go at it again. But the Facebook algorithm shows us what they want us to see and what they think we want to see, just like Instagram, just like Twitter had to do. If if now I have to talk about the entire internet experience as something where people are coming and they want everything customized to them and how they want it, when they want it. And so we've seen that, you know, even in the political cycle, you know, the more you talk about one side, the more you see that in your Google results and your Facebook or social media results. And so now everybody has the internet catered and customized to them. So that's what they're looking forward to. And then, of course, the super huge elephant in the room, mobile. And I don't mean mobile phones because that's initially starting, but we know mobile glasses are coming, Internet of Things, Internet everywhere. We could talk about all kinds of stuff, but I got to get people in, you know, in our space to start thinking about that because these things are coming. And I don't want us, our you know, churches and faith-based organizations continue to be playing catch-up when there are people like me and you who are out here navigating this and putting out books and talks like this to keep them updated.
Yeah, dude, there is so much. And that's why this conversation, that's why you've got to keep coming on this podcast and we got to keep having a conversation because every time it's a different conversation, you know, even terms like AR and AI, you almost don't even have to say those anymore because people know augmented reality, artificial intelligence, like VR, like there's these things that are just becoming that were Jetsons like a year ago are now like normal today. And it's moving so quickly. People will, you know, one of the things I love too, just about our relationship is that people will say like, oh, is Jason a competitor? You know? And I'm like, no, you know, he's a partner. Like read his book before you read mine. Like his is way better than mine. Is that you and I are like, get to do this together, you know? And that there is so much room. We need multiple voices in the space. We need multiple leaders pushing the church and pushing church leaders to step up and embrace these technologies. And the reality is not every church can embrace every technology, but you can begin to, and at least have your mind open to it and be paying attention to these things. Because what's happened too much, I think, with Facebook even is that it's as if so many churches come to me like, oh, maybe I should have paid attention to this. This isn't just a teenage thing. It's teenagers have already moved on from Facebook. They're on Snapchat and Instagram. Like you got to catch up quickly. And I think most people realize they need to catch up, but it's like, okay, don't just catch up to get to yesterday, catch up and get to tomorrow, you know, and really begin to think ahead. Facebook just announced 2 billion active users on the platform, just surpassed that milestone. It's unbelievable like how massive this is, and I think the average user spends over 20 minutes a day on the platform, so this isn't like unique visits, this is like actively engaged users. What thoughts on the growth of Facebook and some of the other social media channels?
Well, I think that again, just to the point that you just mentioned about not just trying to catch up but think ahead, that's what Facebook was doing way back when they took over MySpace and they decided to go mobile or make their platform accessible from any device. Now, they know that Facebook ties into Instagram and ties into, I believe they bought, was it WhatsApp or WeChat?
WhatsApp. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So they know that they have all these platforms and all this integration. Oh, and Messenger has 1.2 billion users.
By the way, this little side app.
Exactly. Yeah. Asterisk tidbit there, you know. Yep. So when we're looking at Facebook's whole ecosystem, you know, you have to start looking at them on par with like Apple's ecosystem or even Google's ecosystem as far as having billions of users tied in on multiple platforms. And so, and they're thinking in the future, because they're thinking like, now everything's mobile, so you want to be able to access each other, but you may not necessarily want to post stuff on Facebook, so Instagram's easier, you post on that, or you just want to communicate via Messenger or WhatsApp. And so, you know, we stay communicated with them, we stay in Facebook's ecosystem no matter what platform we're on. And that's an ingenious of that. Oh, and even so, we're talking about 2 billion users. They're thinking ahead of them and Google's initiative of bringing the internet to everywhere around the world, the most remote places. So now they're not only controlling the platforms that we love with billions of users, they're going to control the actual internet. How forward thinking is that to control the actual internet you use? You only will consider Google thinking of that, and now you think Amazon, because Amazon's jumping in everywhere. But that to think that far ahead is and now we got to say this, even though we're talking about, you know, this is a social church podcast, we still got to talk about Zuckerberg being the social media icon that he is. Him showing the responsibility for certain social issues and other issues, you would think he's campaigning for something. Or either he's just showing a lot of social responsibility, but understanding how these platforms are impactful and how they can sway a lot of stuff, including, you know, elections possibly. You know, he really could make a real significant impact on around the world with him and the thing and the platforms and the users he has access to. I can't say I don't think he's doing something with that now.
Now, that is probably another debate for another time, but there's power in that platform. And there's no doubt that Mark Zuckerberg is playing politician on behalf of Facebook, whatever that agenda is, who knows, but he has sure made himself from being the weird college guy to one of the most likable people in America, in that he's going and opening up conversations. He's actually featured the church quite a bit of helping people connect in communities. And then recently, you know, just getting in the faith aspect, is he, from what I've read, has kind of changed his even spiritual status to atheist agnostic. And so he's kind of, it seems like he's on a spiritual journey as well in the midst of everything. So it is fascinating, even as you get kind of behind the scenes of Facebook, but I think Facebook is bigger than Facebook now. That's I think what you're mentioning with Messenger and Instagram and WhatsApp. You know, the platform that really has my eye right now that I don't know really anything about is WeChat. WeChat seems to be exploding. I know it's huge in China.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on your end? Have you gotten to poke around WeChat at all or know anything about it?
Yeah, I have. I've gotten to poke around it. And actually, here's the funny thing. When I would say I was speaking at a conference, I want to say like 2014 or 2013. And I actually said, hey, guys, you know, you need to be aware of what's coming out of China. And I said, Alibaba, WeChat, Yuda, stuff that they had never heard of. Yep. But, you know, I was noticing back then that as much as we enjoy our, you know, North American bubble, we have to think from a global perspective, because, again, looking at Great Commission, it doesn't just say, you know, Western Christianity, you know, it's a worldwide global impact for this digital mission field. So now when we're looking at that, you got to think about how WeChat is starting to become an all-in-one platform. That's what they are doing with that. So we're seeing stuff that you can do on Messenger, implementing where you can use the chat bots to maybe order a pizza and stuff like that. That's what WeChat has been doing, where it's an all-encompassing platform where you can do a lot of different things on it. So that's what we're going to start seeing, and WeChat took the lead on that. And we'll be seeing that where we'll start to be able to do a lot of different things via bots inside these platforms where we never have to leave them. And by that, I mean ordering stuff, interacting with each other, video calls, always staying connected, letting each other know we're safe. It's just all the stuff we can think of is going to start going into these platforms.
Yeah, it's crazy. WeChat is something to pay attention to, especially if you're building a global audience, global community. Let's talk about augmented reality. So Facebook's F8, they really laid out their future with virtual reality is kind of the next couple years. Augmented reality is really, it's now, but it's also the future beyond. They think augmented reality is going to be way bigger than virtual reality.
Yeah.
Tell me what you know and what you believe and think about augmented reality. Maybe even just start, what the heck is augmented reality to start with?
Okay, so I'm going to start with what augmented reality is, and then I'm going to give you some church examples for our audience as far as stuff that I'm building out with churches these days.
Yeah.
Okay, so augmented reality is basically applying a layer, augmented or digital layer over reality, where, you know, you're looking through smart glasses or a smartphone or some type of external device, you could see things happen digitally that are laid over the real world. Perfect example was Pokemon Go, where people were chasing Pokemon in the traffic because those Pokemon were digitally available in somewhere in the offline world. So when we're looking at that, now we have to look at how Facebook laid it out at their FA conference, where they were talking about all these different things you could build in the with their AR augmented reality kits. Apple did release the same thing at their WWDC conference, and now supposedly their new iPhone 8 coming this year is supposed to have augmented reality built into it. So for you tech geeks out there, AR kit is Apple's thing. So now when you're looking at Facebook and their 2 billion plus users that we just talked about, and Apple talking about over 100 million iPhones having this augmented reality built in, now you can start seeing where stuff is going. Well, the question is always, how can we apply that in the church space? Okay, well, we always got examples. I'm working with ministries now, a few ministries, and we're talking about how we can apply digital augmented reality to the church experience. And that's when you come in, whether it's a digital assistant or somebody guiding you to the children's ministry. You know, we're thinking about, I want to call it welcomers or hostesses, host and hostesses. Yep. But now think about virtual hosts and hostesses that are guiding you through the ministry to different places where you want to go. So you can think about that. But also, here's the main thing we're working on. When you look at the message in the sermon, we're trying to build out interactive, actual digital simulations of what they're preaching about. So if someone's preaching about, you know, Jesus on the Mount, you get to actually see that actually play out next to them in the virtual space. So that's what we're trying to build out. But we're trying to make the actual church experience more immersive and give people more reasons to actually attend on site, because we're adding a digital aspect to it. Now, me and you have talked about for years, you know, taking ministry to the people and making sure, you know, using 360 video and make that a whole different immersive experience. But for the sake of this conversation, AR is giving us a way to make the actual church experience more immersive and more interactive. So that's the stuff we're working on now. And I think, you know, we're obviously a few years out, but by the time we get it perfected, I think it'll be something that'll be really, really interactive and game changing for ministry.
Yeah, boy, that's interesting. So I hear from church leaders sometimes that we're over digitizing the church, that we are, you know, we're making it too impersonal with all the technology. When I hear about something like a virtual, you know, hostess in your church with augmented reality taking you through. And that sounds very cool to me, but I can hear the pushback already coming from church leaders saying, okay, so we're going to just digitize our pastor too. And like, where are we going too far with technology? What's your response to church leaders when it comes to over digitizing the church?
Oh, I give the same example that I think the church leaders gave back in the day. I mean, look at the huge pushback when the printing press put Bibles in the hands of all the users, as opposed to it just being in the select few leadership, or when they went from, you know, to printed books from scrolls, or just when church went to actually having print away from just, you know, oral tradition. Each advancement of technology had a lot of kickback. And what I learned, I think, when we were at the conference at Disneyland, we were talking about there was such a huge pushback on even when preachers started speaking on radio, I believe, and TV. Yep. And they were talking about they were going to just mess up the church and stuff like that. And now watching a pastor on TV is the norm. So I expect this. The thing that what I do know is the stuff that me and you were talking about and setting up for the future is really going to, I think, even if there's kickback from the current generations, the future generations will consider this normal. So I don't mind if me and you have to go ahead and you know, take that kickback and take those arrows so that the future generations won't disconnect from the church. Me and you are tough enough for that.
I agree with that. Man, that's you know, I think it's one of those things of like, look, wrestle with it. We're not saying you have to do everything digitally,
right?
But embrace it and to understand it and figure out where it best supports your mission and vision. But to basically say, I don't like that technology, we're not going to use it. You're going to miss out on opportunities. And, you know, I think about, you know, as YouVersion has done such a tremendous job of digitizing the Bible experience. How many more people are now reading the Bible because of that technology? Does that mean that paper Bibles are dead or, you know, people shouldn't read? No, it means that you can read that or you can read this. It increases or enhances the experience. But I think people, you know, would have said or originally said, you know, put the cell phones away in church, you know,
and didn't
embrace it. So it's, I'm with you, man. I mean, I think it's, we're not saying you have to do everything, but don't just blow this off because you're missing gospel opportunities. You're missing discipleship opportunities. There are huge opportunities for those that embrace these new technologies that I think what you're communicating too is that these are going to become part of our everyday lives. I've just kind of doing a research project of all the things that our cell phones do now, you know, from, paying our bills from, you do it to get a flight. I do it to everything I do pretty much now is integrating with my phone. I call Uber through it. I call, you know, I mean, it's using it as a phone call platform is probably the last thing that I use it for now because it does so many other things. But to think that, man, what if we just decided, well, we're not going to prioritize mobile. It's crazy. Begin to embrace technologies. Okay. So augmented reality is going to be a big deal. It still, I think, sounds weird to people, but Pokemon Go, I think, was a perfect example of people beginning to see, here's what augmented reality can do. Here's the reality of augmented reality right now is just begin to pay attention to it. As you start to see things, quit just blowing it off saying this is dumb and weird and Pokemon Go is dumb and weird. There were ministry opportunities around Pokemon Go for those that embraced Pokemon Go early. There will be new ministry opportunities that come about. And I think we could spend hours just digging into augmented reality of what's possible. But I think at this point in the conversation, it's just pay attention to it. And opportunities are going to come. I think Snapchat filters are kind of a good initial immediate opportunity to jump into this, or Facebook frames. So let's talk about internet TV. That's another aspect that you've really integrated into your book and a lot of the things you talk about. I'm very passionate as I, you know, have a part of tvapp.church. And Jay and I launched that platform together. What are you seeing in those trends around TV apps?
Well, the reason I bring up internet TV is I'm starting to watch the shift of the whole industry, TV industry as a whole. So, of course, watching what you and Jay did, and then I've been approached myself about partnering on some internet church that are mixed with mobile app platforms, so just app platforms as a whole. And so, and again, as me and you have all, you know, as you said earlier, you know, it's not in a competitive space for me and you, but me and you know that we, there's a lot of people that you can reach that I can't, that I can reach that you can't. We all are going to win for the kingdom. So saying that to say, as I'm watching the industry change, you're seeing like AT&T launch DirecTV Now. You're seeing Dish Network launch Sling. You're seeing all these different solutions, these internet TV solutions to where internet TV is becoming normal. So if internet TV is becoming normal, then instead of the church having to go through gatekeepers of traditional television stations and stuff like that, we're now able to put these apps right onto the devices, and the mainstream audiences will understand that this is how we watch TV. So as again, and it goes back to the customization of our entire digital lives. We watch TV when we want to, how we want to, on whatever device we want to. And internet TV is just another device. And so now I'm not sure, you know, what the viewing habits are of our audience that's listening to this. But, you know, I binge. I don't like watching TV week to week is something I don't even like anymore. I want to binge on six or seven shows at one time. So, you know, that's with that being stated, I want my TV. I'm basically saying I want my TV customized to my life.
Yeah.
So with that, we now, me and you have found solutions we can offer to the churches to say, hey, if again, here's another way to take the message to the people. Let's utilize these internet TV platforms that are going to become the norm. And I think the conversations for me and you are going to get easier because when we walk in there and say, hey, guys, have you heard of Roku or Apple TV or Amazon, now the hands are going up as opposed to them saying, what? You know, how, is that like cable? You know, now they're understanding. So we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw Apple TV and I was like, is this like a cable box? Like what is this thing? And I got one and it took me a while to like get it. But it's still such a new platform. I mean, I think here's the deal. It's great for long form video content. So mobile device is good for short form video. I say that teenagers are sitting watch 3-hour movies on their mobile device. So it's not just that mobile, it's just for short form video, but TVs are really optimal for long form. You're dedicated. You're going to come in, you're going to watch, you know, Orange is the New Black, you know, 6 shows back to back to back. You're going to get comfortable on the couch. But I think it's great for small groups. It's great for so many different aspects. I just watched ComScore just hosted a webinar last week that I participated in. And one of the things that they talked about is how fast YouTube is growing on these platforms. And the average view time of a YouTube video on a TV is 20 minutes. And you think about YouTube, you're like, are there even videos that are 20 minutes long on YouTube? And the reality is long videos didn't perform well in the past, but now YouTube's TV apps are exploding. It's been Netflix and Hulu that have owned the space. YouTube is the fastest growing. They just launched YouTube TV in Los Angeles and in New York. We just subscribed here. It's fantastic. It's affordable.
We just got it here in Dallas, so I'm going
to just come to Dallas. Good. There's just YouTube is doing some really interesting things. I think they're worth paying attention to. And Facebook just launched a TV app as well. So people are trying to get control of the TV. And I think this tells us that long form video content has a place on the internet. It's not TV cable and the internet. This is now a combined ecosystem. It's the internet on multiple platforms. It's kind of the internet of things as you so often refer to. The TV is a big part of the ecosystem and becoming more and more a part of that ecosystem. Let's wrap up, Jason, by talking about AI and bots. What are you seeing in the world of artificial intelligence and bots?
Well, I'll start with bots first. Chatbots, Facebook has launched chatbots, and you've been posting about this and talking about this, so I've been following a lot of it as far as what you've been saying. And I actually wanted to utilize bots for the platforms I'm building for them to automate a lot of the stuff that I was doing on these platforms. But bots are basically for the average user. You come to Facebook, or sometimes when you're on websites and you're chatting with someone on the website, you're asking certain questions and the bots are giving you automated answers based on your questions. Very similar to, I'm trying to think of the Will Smith movie, iRobot, where he was asking questions to the hologram in the movie, and certain questions they couldn't answer because he said, you know, that does not compute. So you ask certain questions, they give you certain answers. Well, we have that in real life now, especially on Facebook with these chat bots, where you can chat with these bots before doing certain things. I'll give you an example of what I did, because the church can do this as well. I actually signed up for a lawyer. I was looking to get a trademark for one of my businesses, and they sent me to Facebook, to Messenger, to talk to their chat bot to gather certain questions, to ask me questions before I actually got to talk to a lawyer. It was like filling like an online form using chatbot. And then, by the time I talked to an actual lawyer, he had all the questions asked already because I talked to the bot. Brilliant, brilliant. So when we're looking at church aspects of that, you know, how many questions, when you think about FAQs and different questions that people ask about spirituality, those can all be answered by a bot. Now, again, you don't want to take away the human touch of it. So, of course, you know, there are certain questions that are more in-depth, more theological, and more life-changing that need a human touch. But certain questions are really routine, like how do I get saved, you know, and stuff like that. So, again, so we're looking at ways that churches can utilize that and reach more people utilizing these digital solutions. Now, let's jump over to AI. I was talking about AI earlier, and I've actually was working with a ministry on this project, and I'm not sure, I think it's stalled for now, but we were using AI to build a ministry website that actually looked at all the information on certain people that you can gather. So when a user came to the site, based on the information that was gathered from them throughout the internet, social media, etc., we were able to customize a website experience just to them. And so when you're thinking about AI and artificial intelligence and machine learning, it's basically creating a customized experience based on, you know, the particular person, the user that's using the website. So if user is using your site and every week they come and they're clicking on just to go to donate. Then they click, go watch the sermon. Well, those are the things that they normally do. The site should start to learn what's more important to them and make that more prevalent. If there's a new message on the site, that should be the first thing they see because that's what they normally do. Or if you're having a campaign, they should see that because that's what they are looking for to support the ministry financially. Yeah. We need to start looking at ways that we can create websites and digital platforms that are using these machine learning and artificial intelligence solutions to think about people, and it will increase the online digital ministry experience. And that's where, you know, me and you are thinking about these type of things, and we're going to educate churches on these type of things. But for the sake of the podcast, that's what's here already. And of course, it won't be implemented for a couple of years. We know it'll take a while to get it going, but that's where me and you are at.
So I think as we're talking about a lot of these digital spaces, is that technology, I'm losing my train of thought here. So where people will lose their personal touch. So things like sharing the gospel in an automated way. You know, mm-hmm. people want to know about Jesus. They're like, well, a person should do that. Well, if somebody can do that on an automated basis, you can share the gospel with, say, 10 people, and then 3 people respond, and then the person can jump in with those 3 rather than one person who can only share the gospel with 3 people. So you actually optimize that personal time. And I think about even, you know, robots in the future are going to set out chairs in church. They're going to do, mm-hmm. you know, so many different things. That doesn't mean that there's not a need for people. There's an even greater need for people. There's an even greater need for personal touch. And I think it's taking people out of the things that aren't necessary for people to do so they can do the things that only people can do. In relationships are one of those things that only people can do. Exactly. And so when so some of it, like that conversation is not relationship, that's information being shared. And so how do you create those opportunities for information to be shared and then relationships to be optimized? I want to reiterate that because I think people are going to just so naturally react to you're replacing people with technology. And it's like, no, we're replacing functions with technology so that people can do the things that are even more critical and focus their time and energy on the things that are most critical. So anyways, I wanted to get that point in. Jason, as we wrap up the podcast, any final thoughts from your end and where is it that people can connect with you after this episode?
Okay, great. So final thoughts. I mean, I just think that as you've listened to, for everybody who's listened to this podcast, just think about all the things that we talked about and what's coming down the line and start to think about not just how you're going to maintain and reach people today, but how are you going to reach them in 2 years, 5 years, because a lot of stuff we're talking about is coming down the line. So we know there's going to be more things and more technology. And again, we're not trying to have you do everything we're saying, but please do something and continue to reach people where they're at on the emerging platform. So that's my closing thought for everybody here. Ways to reach me, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Jason Kasten, all that good stuff. Or Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at iChurch Method.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, reach out to Jason, check out his stuff, and go get his new book. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to go through it myself. Jason, I appreciate the unique work you're doing and your leadership and your voice in this conversation and the thousands of churches you've been able to help through the years. And I know the thousands more that you're going to help through this book and through everything else you're doing. I really appreciate you and appreciate you taking the time to join the podcast.
Always a pleasure, my friend.